الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. Just press OK. So we are discussing different aspects of the Ruwat, and last week we looked at Riwayat al-Aba and Riwayat al-Akabir عن الأصاغير, Riwayat al-Aqran, Tadbij. Yeah, so from those, there's a few more left, and one of them is called As-Sabiq wal-Lahiq. So so we read Riwayat al-Aqran, we read Tadbij, we looked at Riwayat al-Akabir عن الأصاغير, and the fourth one is As-Sabiq wal-Lahiq. So وَإِنِ اشْتَرَكَ إِثْنَانْ عَنْ شَيْخٍ وتقدم موت أحدهما على الآخر فهو السابق واللاحق. If two people have one sheikh and the death of one of them is earlier than the death of the other one, then this is called سابق, the one who's before, واللاحق, and the one who comes afterwards. Okay, two people, they have got the same sheikh, but one dies very early, one dies late. So the first one is called Sabiq, and the second one is called Lahiq. Now, normally this happens, right? The, you know, a teacher might have two students, one dies earlier than the other one. This is not what they're talking about. We are talking about 150 years difference between the death of the older one and the younger one. Okay, if there's 30 years difference, that can be fine. If there's 50 years difference between them, you know, it still makes sense. But 150 years difference between two students of the same sheikh, normally, you know, you don't normally get that. Yeah?
Right.
And the whole reason why As-Sabiq al-Lahiq is required is because sometimes you have situations, okay? You have situations where you do have 150 years gap between the earlier student and the later student. Somebody might look at this isnad, or might look at this and basically say, well, actually, this can't be right because the dates don't suggest it. So the dates are not possible. That's why the ulama have gathered all of the people who found themselves in this situation of Sabiq al-Lahiq, so we don't doubt the isnad. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. So 150 years. So can you give me an example of that?
Yeah, example is coming. وَأَكْثَرُ مَا وَقَفْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا بَيْنَ الرَّاوِيَيْنِ فِيهِ فِي الْوَفَاةِ 150 سَنَةً. The most that we stumble upon between two rawis as far as the death is concerned is 150 years. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْحَافِزِ السِّلَفِي. So Hafiz Tahir al-Silafi, سَمِعَ مِنْهُ أَبُو عَلِي الْبَرْدَانِ أَحَدُ مَشَايِخِهِ حَدِيثًا. Hafiz al-Silafi, one of his mashayikh, one of his sheikhs, one of his teachers, heard a hadith from him, and this sheikh is called Abu Ali al-Bardani. So normally, here we get the first kind of sign of what happens. Normally, you have a relationship. Let me get my pen out. You have a relationship, of okay. So you have a sheikh. Yeah. His student. Mm-hmm. He may have another student. And he may have a third student. There may be about, between this guy and this guy, there may be about 50 years gap. And that's
okay.
Understandable. You can understand that. Yeah. However, As-Sabiq al-Lahiq normally works in the situation where you have a teacher you have an earlier student, and you have a later student.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this first student here is actually also the sheikh of this guy here. For example, we have Imam Malik.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Malik's sheikh is Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Shihab al-Zuhri. But we also have situations where Ibn Shihab also narrates from just one minute, please.
No problem.
Sorry, the cat was running frenzy in the kitchen.
No problem.
Okay, so we have Imam Malik. His teacher is Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, right?
Right.
Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri died in 124 Hijri.
Okay.
Imam Malik died in 179 Hijri. But wow, we also have a situation where Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri also took hadith from Imam Malik. Therefore, this part of the isnad becomes what is known as riwayatul akabir an al-asagir. The part where Ibn Shihab, who's the older one and who's the teacher, he takes from his own student. So in this situation, so this is riwayat al-akabir anil asagir. This is the situation where the riwayat al-akabir anil asagir, where it's flipped. Yeah. So the teacher takes from the student. So now the teacher also becomes a student of
wow,
his student. Yeah.
Yep.
And then so this is the situation where you will get sabiq and lahiq, because now obviously the teacher normally is older, yeah, than this student, the one in red, will be older than the teacher himself, because he's the teacher's teacher. So this part of the isnad is a elder narrating from a youngster. Now, if we look at this teacher's youngest student, then you will get quite a lot of discrepancy in the date between 124 and the last person to narrate from Imam Malik. That's how you will get sabiq and lahiq. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Explain to me more the... I understand the first part of the Sheikh, the Imam Malik and Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. But explain to me more the student side. So
student. So let's look at the ibarat. Sheikh Hafiz Tahir al-Silafi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who heard from him? Abu Ali al-Bardani, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's write it out. Right. So we got Hafiz al-Silafi here. Silafi, he is the teacher. Teacher. And then we got Abu Ali al-Bardani. Bardani, he is the student.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put this in green. He is, in reality, teacher of Silafi. So Silafi is the student. So that's why I'm using different color codes. Yeah?
Got it. Yep.
The green is basically what the normative is, normal. Abu Ali al-Bardani is the teacher. Hafiz Tahir al-Silafi is the student. But in this occasion, we have occasions where Abu Ali al-Bardani becomes in verses and he becomes the student, and Hafiz Tahir al-Silafi becomes the teacher. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. This bit you've understood. So So the student, Silafi is student, and he's taking from the teacher, is green because that's what is normal. Right? So Hafiz Abu Ali al-Bardani died in 500 Hijri. Yeah?
Mm.
Imam Tahir al-Silafi died in 576 Hijri. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So there is a relation, teacher student teacher relationship there. However, now let's go back to red, because it's the red that we're looking at. So if we follow the red, this bit of the isnad, this is called riwayatul akabir an Al-Asaghir.
Right.
Yeah. This bit, you understand, right? Because it's the is the teacher-student relationship has flipped. Yeah.
Right.
Now we carry on with the red, and we find another, the last student of Hafiz Abu Tahir al-Silafi.
Mm-hmm.
The last student is his grandson, Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman. Silafi's grandson, Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman. Last student of Silafi. He died in the year 650 Hijri. Yeah? So now look at this. It is possible, it is possible. So from, let's get the calculator out. 650 to 576. Yeah.
Yeah, let's calculate then.
I'll get it. 650 to 576. There's a difference of 74 years. Now, it is possible that a person can learn, right? But now, obviously, we're just looking at the death dates here. Yeah.
Right.
There is a difference of 74 years here between Abu Tahir al-Silafi and his grandson, right? From their death to, but that basically means that, you know, there could have been a gap of 40 years or a gap of 50 years when Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman read from his grandfather. Perfectly possible, right?
Right.
Now, there is a gap of 576 take away 500, which is 76 years between Abu Tahir al-Silafi and his teacher, which again is possible because there could have been a 50 years gap when they studied. But what is really impossible is the gap, I'll put it in another color.
Right.
Between
Abu Ali al-Bardani and
Abu Ali al-Bardani and Abu al-Qasim, there is a 150-year gap.
Right.
Yeah, gap. Somebody basically can look at this. Maybe these people come in the isnad, or one of them comes in the isnad and the other one doesn't. Somebody can basically say, well, this doesn't make sense. How can a teacher have two students and the gap between them, between the first student and the last student, is 150 years? It doesn't make sense. You can get like the most 70, 80 years, but 150 years, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Right.
So it doesn't really make sense that I mean, how old were they when they were studying from Salafi? So because the gap is so wide, and people will think that this is not possible, that's why they want to draw our attention that this normally is possible. And it's possible because the eldest teacher, the eldest student is actually in reality the teacher of the person that we're claiming to be a teacher. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and just, you know, clarifying here, Abu al-Qasim did not hear from Abu Ali al-Bardani. He heard from Salafi. Right.
Yeah.
But this example is to explain the 150-year gap as being rationally.
Yeah. Got it. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
I mean, it's a very simple math. I mean, the thing is that you just need to know this green bit, that this is the reality. The Salafi is actually the student, and Abu Ali al-Bardani is the teacher. But, but we also have a Riwayat al-Akabir and al-Asaghir, where Bardani is the student and Salafi becomes the teacher. Only in those kind of situations where the relationship is inversed, you may get Sabiq and Lahiq of 150 years.
Does
that
make sense?
Yes. Okay. So, سمع منه أبو علي البرداني أحد مشايخه حديثا ورواه عنه and he narrated from him ومات على رأس الخمسمائة and أبو علي البرداني died 500 هجري ثم كان آخر أصحاب السلفي بالسماع سبطه أبو القاسم Ibn Abdurrahman Ibn Makki. So so the last to hear from Salafi is his maternal grandson, Abu al-Qasim Ibn Abdurrahman Ibn Makki. So you know the difference between Sibt and Hafid. Hafid is paternal grandson.
Right.
Sibt is maternal.
Right.
Yeah. His daughters, Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman ibn Makki, وكانت وفاته سنة 50 و600, and he died in 650. So between Abu Ali al-Bardani and this Abdul Rahman Abu al-Qasim, 150 years, Abu Ali al-Bardani is Sabiq, and Salafi's Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman ibn Makki is Lahiq. He's the one that came afterwards. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. ومن قديم ذلك, he gives an older example. أن البخاري حدث عن تلميذه أبي العباس السراج الشاء في التاريخ وغيره. That Imam al-Bukhari narrated a number of things in Kitab al-Tariq and other books from his student Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj. Yeah? Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj. ومات سنة ست وخمسين ومئتين. Imam Bukhari died in 256 Hijri. وآخر من حدث عن السراج بالسماع أبو الحسين الخفاف. And the last person to hear from Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj is Abu al-Husayn al-Khaffaf. And Abu al-Husayn al-Khaffaf died in Sana 93. 393 Hijri. So again, we have a situation where Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj is the teacher. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bukhari is the student. But in reality, again, I will put it in green. Student. I will put it in green to show what the real relationship is. Imam Bukhari is the teacher. And Sarraj is actually the student. So again, it's Riwayatul Akabir Anil Asaghir. Bukhari died in 256. That didn't come out right. It's quite difficult writing on this part anyway. 256 Hijri. And then the last student to narrate from Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj is, who does Imam he say? Al-Khassaf, Al-Khaffaf, Abu al-Husayn al-Khaffaf. Abu al-Husayn al-Khaffaf, who died in 393.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the difference between them?
Let's calculate it.
137 years between Bukhari and Al-Khaffaf. Again, this is another example.
Wow.
This is another example of, it's not more than the Salafis. Salafis is 150 years gap. This one is 137. Yeah. Similarly,
but that's only between, well, hold on. Let's, the 137 is for the whole line that you drew?
Yeah.
Just, oh, okay. Gotcha.
For the whole line.
Gotcha. Okay.
Again, still, it's a large number of a very large number for two students to be sharing the same, sheikh. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
So, do you understand as-sabiq wal-lahiq?
I do.
Yeah. وَغَالِبُ مَا يَقْعُ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْمَسْمُوعَ مِنْهُ قَدْ يَتَأَخَّرُ بَعْدَ أَحَدٍ. And the most that this happens, in most situations this happens, is the person who is who has been heard from, i.e. the teacher in this situation, قَدْ يَتَأَخَرُ بَعْدَ أَحَدِ الرَّاوِيَيْنِ عَنْهُ زَمَانًا, that the still lives on after one of the two narrators for a long time. Meaning the teacher, right, for example, here, Imam, after Abu Ali al-Bardani passed away, Tahir al-Salafi lived another 76 years. So this is what he's saying, that the person, al-Masmu' minhu, he is the teacher in red, Tahir al-Salafi, mm-hmm, he lives on for a long time after one of the Rawis, which is the elder Rawi. Yeah, so similarly, right. Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj lived on quite a long time after Imam al-Bukhari passed away. Yeah, so that's what, yeah, that's what he's saying. Hatta yasma'u minhu ba'd al-ahdath, to the extent that he lives so long that some youngsters they listen to him. وَيَعِيشُ بَعْدَ السِّمَاءِ دَهْرًا طَوِيرًا. And these youngsters then live on after listening to the hadith for a long time. فَيَحْصُلُ مِنْ مَجْمُوعِ ذَلِكَ نَحْوَ هَذِي الْمُدَّةِ. And as a result of this, the collective date, we arrive at such a large number because of the collective date. Yeah? Does that make sense? So it's basically saying that the masmu' minhu, the one who has been heard from, that is here Abu Tahir al-Salafi, he lives on for a long time after the first student Rawi has passed away. And yep, then some youngsters, Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman, listen, take hadith from him, and they live for a long time. Like, for example, between Salafi and his grandson, there's 74 years. And the collective date brings about this long muddah, 150 years. That's what he's saying. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So that's finished now. We have looked at four things. We have looked at Riwayatul Aqran. Riwayatul Aqran is when there are two contemporaries and only one narrates from the other. Tadbij is when both contemporaries narrate from each other. Riwayatul Akabir Anil Asaghir is when an elder narrates from a youngster, and asabiq and lahiq is when the gap between two students are so great that it's logically not fathomable for two people to be studying from the same sheikh with such a great difference. The only way that this happens is that the elder side of the isnad is actually as-sabiqul is actually riwayatul akabir anil asagir. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can you just give me 1 minute, please?
Yeah, no problem.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa in rawar rawi an ithnaini muttafiq al ismi aw ma'a ismi al abi aw ma'a ismi al jaddi. So now we've moved away from this kind of horizontal narrations, contemporary narrations, and now we're going more into orthography. Orthography basically relates to writing. And remember that we are talking in Asr al-Tadwin, we are talking in an era where writing material was very scarce and people really didn't have good handwriting. So how do you kind of recognize people? وَإِنْ رَوَى الرَّاوِي عَنْ إِثْنَيْنِ If a rawi narrates from two people, مُتَّفِقِ الْإِسْمِ Both of them have the same name, or both of them have the same father's name, aw ma'a ismil ab, or the same grandfather's name, or both of them have the same nisba. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just 1 minute. Both of the same nisba.
Mm-hmm.
وَلَمْ يَتَمَيَّذَ بِمَا يَخُصُّ كُلَّ مِّنْهُمَا And it is not possible to distinguish between the two. فَإِنْ كَانَ ثِقَتَيْنِ لَمْ يَضُرَّ If both of them are thiqa, then it doesn't matter. Yeah?
Mm.
Because both of them are... For example, we have Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Sufyan al-Thawri. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Sufyan al-Thawri, both of them hafidhun mutqinun thiqatun thabtun.
Right.
Both of them narrate from Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri.
Mm.
And both of them have got strong students. So when Imam Bukhari says, Haddathana humaydiyu qala haddathana Sufyan, yeah, and he doesn't mention who that Sufyan is, it doesn't matter because both of them are strong narrators. But normally what happens is you will look at the students and you will look at the teachers. You look at contextual information. Yeah.
Right.
And in that way, you will be able to get rid of any ambiguity. If you can't get rid of any ambiguity, this is called muhmal. Muhmal basically means ambiguous. Wow. So let me give you an example from my life.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's son is called Isa. Yeah?
Yep.
My wife's sister's son, so my brother's son is called Isa. Mm-hmm. My wife's sister's son is also called Isa. So mm-hmm. my children, from their father's side and from their mother's side, they've got cousins, both of them called Isa.
Right.
Yeah. Also, my wife's cousin has a son called Isa. So my wife's sister has a son called Isa. My wife's cousin has a son called Isa. My nephew is also called Isa. So all three Isas are cousins of my children. The first two are first relative. The other one is second. So when right. my son comes up to me, and they're all same age as my son, nearly around the 10, 11. When my son comes up to me and says, Baba Isa did this to me, then right. there is, so my wife's surname is Kareem, my surname is Ali. So my nephew is called Isa Ali, and my wife's nephew is called Isa Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
So when my son basically comes to me and says, Baba Isa did this to me, the context will tell us. If I'm in Manchester, then I know that it is Isa Ali, my nephew.
Yeah. Right, right.
If we're in Newcastle and he says, Baba Isa did this to me, then I know that it is my wife's nephew, Isa Kareem. Because the context, right? Right?
Why, the context,
why would my son be complaining about his cousin who is 300 miles away from where he is, right? The context tells you.
Right.
Sometimes here in Cardiff, he might basically say, Baba Isa did this, he said this to me, and he might be on his iPad playing online with his cousins. So then we have to say Isa Ali, Isa Kareem, or Isa Ahmed, and then he has to specify. Right? When the moment he specifies with the surname, or Manchester Isa, or Newcastle Isa, then it basically becomes there's no ambiguity left, right? So
right.
if we can't distinguish which Isa it is, then both of them are known as Muhammad. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%.
Imam Ibn Hajar says, if both of the Rawis are indistinguishable, however, they are thiqa Rawi, then it really doesn't matter.
Right.
Especially if they've got teachers who are thiqa and they've got students who are thiqa, it really doesn't matter.
But sometimes, you know, one might be a little bit more thiqa than the other, or one, you know, there might be...
That wouldn't have an effect on the hadith itself.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if there's a difference of gradation, then it's important to know who they are, because that will have an effect on the gradation of the hadith. Yeah.
Right.
ومن ذلك ما وقع في البخاري في روايته عن أحمد غير منصوب عن ابن وهب. That which has been narrated from Imam al-Bukhari from Ahmad. And Imam Bukhari didn't say who it is. And obviously later scholars like Imam Ibn Hajar and others have identified who those scholars is. From Ahmad عن ابن وهب. فإنه إما أحمد بن صالح أو أحمد بن عيسى. Okay, It's either Ahmad ibn Salih or Ahmad ibn Isa, but it doesn't matter which Ahmad it is, because both of them are thiqa. أو عن محمد غير منصوب عن أهل العراق, or from Muhammad, from أهل العراق, Muhammad عن أهل. So from Muhammad, it doesn't say where this Muhammad is from or anything about him, from أهل العراق. So this can either be Muhammad ibn Salam or Muhammad ibn Yahya الذهلي. وقد استوعبت ذلك في مقدمة شرح البخاري, and I have exhausted this in my مقدمه of شرح البخاري, which is called الهدي الساري. So he basically, all of those names that Imam Bukhari leaves ambiguous, what he means by استوعبت is he has exhausted it, Ibn Hajar, by pinpointing who these people are.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. So have you understood this?
Yes.
وَمَنْ أَرَادَ لِذَٰلِكَ ضَابِطًا كُلِّيًّا. Whoever wants a general rule for this, يَمْتَازُ أَحَدُهُمَا عَنِ الْآخَرِ فَبِإِخْتِسَاسِهِ, that one can be distinguished by the other, then فَبِإِخْتِسَاسِهِ, then by looking at their distinguishing factors. So what is the ضابط of differentiate between two people? You look at what is specific about them. أي الشيخ المروي عنه بأحدهما ومن أراد لذلك يمتاز أحد من الآخر فبإختصاصه. What is specific with him? I.e. look at the shuyukh that they narrate from. بأحدهما يتبين المهمل. And when that happens, then the ambiguity will be uplifted. It will no longer remain. Because when you look at the students, when you look at the shuyukh, there is no more ambiguity. وَمَتَى لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ ذَلِكَ, and when that is not possible to distinguish, أو كان مختصا بهما معا, or the sheikh is sheikh of both of them, فإشكاله شديد. In this situation, this problem is quite big, especially when the sheikh right. has got two students by the same name, and one of them is ثقة and the other one is not ثقة.
Right,
فيرجع
right.
فيه إلى القرائن والنظر الغالب. In this situation, you look for circumstantial evidence and look at other kind of things. So you look at, okay, this guy, who is he narrating from? Is he narrating from Ahlul Iraq? Or is he narrating from Ahlul Sham? Who is the student? So you look at all of those in order to basically ascertain. And if you can't ascertain, then the hadith then becomes muhtarab or muhmal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Sheikh, how widespread is this problem? Because I can definitely see a scenario, especially back in those days, where there was not really
So it's no longer a problem. Ibn Hajar and others have sorted it out.
Okay.
Yeah, sorted it out. Ibn Hajar and nearly every single name
Mashallah.
Have basically been, okay. Now we move on to so this was the muhmal. Muhmal is when you can't distinguish between two names.
Right.
وَإِنْ رَوَى عَنْ شَيْخٍ حَدِيثًا فَجَحَدِ الشَّيْخُ مَرْوِيَهُ. If a person narrates a hadith from a sheikh, however, the sheikh denies this hadith, denies narrating this. Mm-hmm. And this happens every single time in our everyday, right? In our everyday kind of speech, this may happen. And you say, oh, Sheikh, do you remember when you said this to me? And I can say, well, I don't remember, I may have said it. Or I say to you, no, I definitely wouldn't have said it, I know that. I said, no, Sheikh, just say, I said, no, I deny it, I definitely. So there's two approach. One is that, Sheikh, I don't remember it, and I know that I won't say it. And the other one is, I don't remember telling you this, but I may have said it. Yeah?
Right.
Two approach. فَإِنْ كَانَ جَزْمًا. If it is jazim, like if it's full conviction.
Right.
أَنْ يَقُولَ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ أَوْ مَا رَوَيْتُ هَذَا أَوْ نَحْوُ ذَلِكَ. If, for example, the sheikh says this, he has lied, he has told a lie about me. I have not narrated this. Or some other words. فَإِنْ وَقَعَ مِنْهُ ذَٰلِكَ رُدَّ ذَٰلِكَ الْخَبَرِ. If that happens, i.e. if the rawi with full conviction rejects this hadith, رُدَّ ذَٰلِكَ الْخَبَرِ, this khabar will be rejected. لِكَذِبِ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا, because one of them is lying, or lying is quite harsh, or making a mistake. لَا بِعَيْنِهِ, not because the any individual, we can pinpoint any individual is lying or the hadith is wrong. It's just that there is a doubt in either one of the, either the student who's saying Sheikh, you narrated, and he might actually be making a mistake, or the Sheikh did narrate, but he doesn't remember. وَلَا يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ قَدْحًا فِي وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا لِلتَّعَارُضِ. However, even though the hadith is rejected, this will not be an aspersion, a blemish on either of them, the student and the teacher, because there is ambiguity there. لِلتَّعَارُضِ, there is a difference of opinion there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So the hadith will be rejected, but we will not judge the student or the teacher here. Yeah.
Makes sense.
There's a very famous incident of Sulaiman ibn al-Mahran al-A'mash. Sulaiman ibn al-Mahran al-A'mash went to this mosque once to pray the Jummah prayer, and he heard the khatib narrate a hadith, and the khatib basically said, Haddathani Sulaiman ibn al-Mahran al-A'mash. Sulaiman ibn al-Mahran al-A'mash narrated this hadith to me, and narrated a bogus hadith which doesn't exist, and Sulaiman ibn al-Mahran al-A'mash never heard of it before in his life.
Wow.
So then Sulaiman ibn al-Mahran al-A'mash, in front of everyone, he must have gone to an area where people don't really know him. Yeah. Because he was quite a famous hadith scholar. Sulaiman ibn Mahran al-A'mash, he gets up in the middle of the jama'ah, takes off his shirt, lifts up his armpit, and he starts plucking his armpit hair out in front of the whole masjid. And people basically think he's a madman. He goes, "What are you doing, you mad guy?" Right? And he basically says, "I am Sulaiman ibn Mahran al-A'mash. I have never seen this person, let alone narrate this hadith. What you are saying is a lie on me. And what I'm doing, plucking the hair, is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am doing the sunnah and you're a liar."
Yeah? Wow.
Now, it's a bit extreme to get his point through, but you get the point. He is so angry that he has to make this stunt. There's another episode where Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Yahya ibn Ma'in, they go to a mosque in Baghdad called Masjid al-Rasafa, and they hear this person say, "Haddathani Ahmad ibn Hanbal wa Yahya ibn Ma'in." The Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Yahya ibn Ma'in, they narrate this hadith to me. So they look at each other. Ahmad says to Yahya, "Did you narrate this hadith to him?" Yahya says, "No." And Yahya says to Ahmad, "Did you narrate this hadith to him?" He said, "No." He goes, "Okay, let's go and ask him." So they went and asked him. He's a khatib. Khatibs are orators, right? They said, right. "I am Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He's Yahya ibn Ma'in. We've never seen you, let alone narrate hadith to you." He responded, retorted, and he said, "Well, I've always heard that Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Yahya ibn Ma'in were stupid. Now this is a proof of concept. Do you think that you are the only Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Yahya ibn Ma'in in this world? There are many others." And they, at that moment, Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Yahya ibn Ma'in, they said, "Let's get out of here while we still have our dignity intact."
Wow.
Yeah. So these things happen.
Got it. That's interesting.
Right. So this is when it is jazm, so with full conviction.
Right.
أو كان جحده احتمالا. However, if the rejection is a possibility, كأن يقول ما أذكر هذا ولا أعرفه. So in the way that such as he says that I don't remember that or I don't recall. Yeah. قبل ذلك الحديث. So في الأصحي لأن ذلك يحمل على نسان الشيخ. That hadith, according to the most correct opinion, will be accepted because this will be we will attach this to the forgetfulness of the Sheikh. However, the hadith is not forgotten. The hadith has been transmitted carefully. It's just right. That the Sheikh forgot that the hadith, that he transmitted the hadith. But the person who received the hadith from him remembers very clearly. Now, the sheikh is not rejecting the hadith. He basically says, "I may have, but I don't recall." Does that make sense? That's why we don't reject the hadith, because the hadith has been transmitted. I mean, providing that the sheikh is a thiqa rawi. If he's a weak rawi, then obviously we're not talking about this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
وقيل. So then Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is bringing in other opinions. وقيل لا يقبل. And it is said that it will not be accepted. Why? لأن الفرع تبع للأصل في إثبات الحديث. Because the secondary follows the primary in establishing a hadith. بحيث إذا أثبت الأصل الحديث ثبتت رواية الفرع. In the sense that if the primary narrator establishes the hadith, then the narration of the secondary narrator is established. Primary here is the teacher, secondary is the student. Basically saying that if the primary narrator, if the teacher accepts the hadith, only then can we say that the narration of the student is accepted. Without the teacher accepting the hadith, how can we accept the narration of the student? Yeah, that's the i'tirad, that's the question. وكذلك ينبغي أن يكون فرعا عليه. Similarly, this should also وتبعا له في التحقيق في النحي. Similarly, this should also be the case of the student. The فرع should follow the أصل in establishing the hadith or declining the hadith. So if the أصل, the teacher accepts the hadith, then the فرع, the student should also accept the hadith. However, if the teacher declines the hadith, then the فرع on the student should also decline the hadith. وهذا متعقب. Imam Ibn Hajar says that we can critique that. متعقب, we can follow it up. We can critique that. It's problematic. Why? فَإِنَّ عَدَالَةَ الْفَرْعِ تَقْتَضِي صِدْقَهُ. That the adalat of the student demands that we believe him. Yeah. His adalat and his kind of character, or whether he's thiqa or not, is independent of his teacher. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Him,
his identity is his own. His adala, if he's adil, then independently of this teacher, we need to accept that he's speaking the truth. Whether his teacher forgets or died or whatever, we're not looking at that. We're independent of his teacher. If he's adil, then he's speaking the truth, right? وَعَدَمُ عِلْمِ الْأَصْلِ لَا يُنَافِي. And the fact that the teacher, the asl, has got no knowledge of this hadith does not contradict that, because independently, he is his own person. Yeah?
Right.
فَالْمُثْبِتُ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى النَّافِي. Therefore, the person who establishes the hadith, he should be given preference over the person who denies the hadith. Yeah? And the student is the muthbit. Student is the one who's saying that the hadith exists. And the teacher is the nafi. He is the one who's denying it, or denying it with a possibility. The student should be accepted, and the student should and the teacher should be rejected. However, there is another bit to that i'tiraz, and that is that sometimes they do a qiyas with witnessing. Yeah. وَأَمَّا قِيَاسُ ذَلِكَ بِالشَّهَادَةِ فَاسِدُونَ. And to analogize this with the case of witnessing is قِيَاسُ مَعَ الْفَارِقِ is fasid. It doesn't work. لِأَنَّ شَهَادَةَ الْفَرْعِ. So they basically, what is the i'tiraz here? The i'tiraz is, in a witness case, if you decline, or if you reject the witness of the primary witness, then the secondary witness is the one who will witness in the absence of the primary witness. His witness is automatically fasid, because once we have said that the primary witness is not credible, we can't get a secondary witness who is going to witness what he witnessed the primary witness saying. Does that make sense?
Can you explain that a little bit more?
Okay. Let's say that I am the primary witness, you are the secondary witness in a murder. Yeah?
Yep.
You will only...
What do you mean by secondary witness here, Shay?
So now I'm saying, I'm explaining. You will only go and give witness on behalf of me if I'm not able to go to court.
Did we both witness?
No. So when I go to the court, I will say, I witness X, Y, and Z murdering this person.
Right.
When you go to court, you basically will say, oh, Mansoor told me that he witnessed X, Y, and Z murdering.
Got it.
Does that make sense? So,
yes.
So these people are saying, When the witness of the primary witness is no longer credible, then how can we rely on the witness of the secondary witness? Because the secondary witness is going to witness that he heard the primary witness witness this. Does that make sense?
Right. Makes sense. Perfect sense.
So if the primary is rejected, then the secondary is rejected. So he said, وَأَمَّا قِيَاسُ ذَلِكَ بِالشَّهَادَةِ فَفَاسِدٌ. Imam Ibn Hajar says to do qiyas of that in the case of witnessing shahada in a court with hadith studies is fasid. Why? لِأَنَّ شَهَادَةَ الْفَرْعِ لَا تُسْمَعَ مَا الْقُدْرَ عَلَى شَهَادَةِ الْأَصْلِ. Because the witnessing of the secondary witness is not heard when the primary witness can give its witness. So if I'm able to go to court, you are not required to go to court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So in my presence, you can't even witness. However, in hadith studies, it doesn't work like that. The teacher, who is the asl here, will do riwayah, and the student will also do riwayah. So right, the riwayah right. and shahada is different. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Totally, definitely, yep.
لِأَنَّ شَهَادَةَ الْفَرْعِ لَا تُسْمَعَ مَا الْقُدْرَ عَلَى الشَّهَادَةِ بِخِلَافِ الرِّوَايَةِ فَافْتَرَقَ. Because in the case of riwayah, the asl and the far', both of them will be doing riwayah. Therefore, the case of shahada and the case of riwayah, they're separate. Here, there is a meta point here, and that is that a lot of the principles of mustalahul hadith, especially of corroboration and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my nose is tickling. So corroboration and things like that, the rules of that has actually been taken from the rules of shahada in fiqh.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's why they say shahada and riwayah, but there are instances where shahada and riwayah are separate. There is an entire PhD thesis just came out last year from Ibn Khaldun University, where the so he was a student of Isam Sheikh Isam Ido, where the student is actually comparing shahada and riwayah.
Very interesting.
I don't have the PhD. I don't think it's available. Ready? They're available yet? Okay. وَفِيهِ أَيْدًا فِي هَذَا النَّوْءِ صَنَّفَ الدَّارُ قُطْنِي. So in this type, Imam al-Daru Qutni has written a book on this, and he called it Kitab مَنْ حَدَّثَ وَنَسْيَا, the book of the person who narrated and forgot. وَفِيهِ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى تَقْوِيَةِ الْمَذْهَبِ السَّحِيحِ. And Imam al-Daru Qutni writing this book is an evidence of confirming and consolidating the correct madhab, that it is possible to that when a rawi throws a doubt on his narration that he doesn't remember properly, that the madhab sahih is that we still accept it. We find ample evidence of that in Imam Daruqutni's book Man Haddatha Wa Nasiya, likawni kathirin minhum haddathu bi ahadith, because a lot of these muhaddithun, they narrated ahadith. فَلَمَّا عُرِدَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ لَمْ يَتَذَكَّرُوهَا. However, when this hadith was presented back to them, they don't remember it. And it happens to us as well, the best of us. Oh, I don't remember this, but maybe I have. لَكِنَّهُمْ لِإِعْتِمَادِهِمْ عَلَى الرُّوَاتِ عَنْهُمْ صَارُوا يَرْوُونَهَا عَنِ الَّذِينَ رَوَوْهَا عَنْهُمْ عَنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They don't remember it, however, because they rely on the people who narrate from them, they rely on the people who have narrated from them. What happens is they narrate from the people who narrated from them. There is a loop here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? There is a loop here. Let's see. Sheikh forgot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He student right? He narrates to the student. Student takes from him. But the sheikh forgets. So now what we have the sheikh here again. And what the sheikh is doing is the sheikh says that my student narrates this hadith from me, but I have forgotten this hadith, and therefore I basically am counting on his memory that he told me that he narrated from me, that I narrated from my teacher, who narrated from his teacher. So they give that loop.
Wow.
There's a loop, yeah?
How often does that happen?
It happens. Yeah. So Imam Darqutni has written an entire book, Man Haddasa Wa Nasiya. And he's going to give an example. كَحَدِيثِ صُحَيْلِ إِبْنِ أَبِي صَالِحِ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ مَرْفُوعًا فِي قِصَّةِ الشَّاهِدِ وَالْيَمِينِ Suhail ibn Abi Salih, from his father, Abu Salih, from Abu Huraira, in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ accepted one witness and one and a promise. Normally, you need two witnesses, but in this situation, he accepted one witness and oath. The matan is not our concern here. The concern here is Suhail ibn Abi Salih and Abihi. Qala Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad al-Darawardiyu. Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad al-Darawardi says, Haddathani bihi Rabi'a ibn Abdul Rahman. Rabi'a ibn Abdul Rahman narrated to me this hadith from Suhail. So Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad al-Darawardi says that Rabi'a ibn Abdul Rahman is Rabi'a al-Rai, Rabi'atul Rai. Have you heard of the name Rabi'atul Rai?
No.
He was a contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa. So Abdulaziz basically says, Ad-Darawardi says that Rabi'atul Rai narrated this hadith to me from Suhail. Yeah, Ibn Abi Salih. Then Abdulaziz says, Falaqitu Suhailan. I met Suhail Ibn Abi Salih directly. Fasa'altu anhu falam ya'rifhu. I asked him about this hadith, but he did not recognize this hadith. He says, "Well, I don't recognize it. I don't remember narrating this." Faqultu, Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad al-Darawardi says, "Faqultu inna Rabi'a haddathani anka bikada." That Rabi'atul Rai narrates this hadith to me from you in this manner. So when Suhail heard this, he says, "Fakana Suhailu ba'da yaqulu haddathani Rabi'a anni." Rabi'a narrated this hadith to me from me. Anni haddastuhu an abi, that I have narrated it from my father. Wa nazairuhu kathir, and there are many, many, many hadiths of this example. Yeah.
Very interesting.
So there is a loop. Yeah. I will have to go now. So we will stop at Musal Salat. Is that okay?
Yes. Perfect.
And we will resume next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay. Thank you.
Barakallahu feek. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.